Hi, guys. My name is Sam Johnson, and I have the privilege of reading the scripture that Pastor Jim will be teaching from today. And this is from Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. So please hear the word of God. And you were dead in your sins and your trespasses, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the rulers of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. We were by nature children under wrath, as others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Now I'm going to pray over Pastor Jim's sermon. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this amazing day and the opportunity to gather together in fellowship with this amazing community. I pray that you would be with Pastor Jim and help him to preach what you want him to preach and what you've written on his heart. I pray that you would help us to really learn from what he has to say and take it to heart, Lord, and apply it to our lives, Lord. Help us to be on fire for you and just do all things for you in this life, Lord. We love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Sam. It was Sam's birthday yesterday. I think he's got a deeper voice. Is that true? I think he's getting older, I think for sure. Hey, but I am super encouraged. We have some awesome students in our church family. Yeah, you saw some worshiping today, Sam, and it's so encouraging to me. These kids are authentically pursuing Jesus Christ in their life, and it's super exciting to me. So I want to start today by asking you a question, but I do not want you to answer it too quickly, because sometimes in church the pastor asks them and we just feel like we have to answer it, right? And I actually want you to stop and to think about this question a little bit before you answer it, okay? But here's the question. Here's the question. How many of you authentically would like to grow stronger in your faith over the next 5 months? Don't answer. Don't. My wife. All right. I want you guys to think about it, actually. Honestly, think about it. How many of you would like to grow stronger in your faith over the next 5 months? Okay, raise your hand if you would like to grow stronger in your faith over the next 5 months. That is awesome. That is awesome. I would like for you guys to actually stop for a second, those of you that just raised your hand, and just thank God for that desire. I think it's a gift he's put inside of us to want to grow stronger in our faith. For those who didn't raise your hand, you know, it's actually okay. We're not here to make you feel guilty or shameful, but my hope is this morning, and as I've been praying this week, man, I'm hoping through the study of God's word and through the power of the Holy Spirit today that it would take root in you a desire to want to grow closer to Jesus Christ. Now, I know some of you are distracted right now because I put that 5 month into the question, right? And it's like, why did he put 5 months in there? Well, good question. Thank you for asking that. Three reasons. One, there are 5 months left in this calendar year. Two, 12-month goals are just a little too long for some people. And three, one of the things that I'm going to do today is I'm going to be sharing with you some of the things that we have planned for this fall to help you grow stronger in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, can you believe there's only 5 months left in 2025? It's like, when I was writing this, I was like doing the math. I'm like, wait, is that right? And it is right, actually. And summer is moving by so quickly. And my grandson, Milo, just turned 1 year old on Friday. which is awesome, but I cannot believe how fast that year went by. I'm blown away. I mean, in 5 months can go by so fast. Can you guys relate to that? Yeah, I think we can all relate to it. I'm shamefully going to put some pictures of Milo up here right now. But look on the left. The left is his newborn picture, and that was just taken. It's like, wow, what growth took place in 1 year, which is amazing to me. And it should be amazing to you what growth can take place inside of us in a short period of time. It makes me wonder, what is he going to look like a year from now? It kind of blows my mind because there's like things a two-year-old can do that a one-year-old can't do, right? Like I was trying to think of some of those things. Like right now he's a madman crawler and he's fast. But in a year from now, he should be running, right? Running around. We're not even going to know where he is anymore. And I know mom and dad are hoping he'll be potty trained. That's a pretty big step, right? And I'm hoping he's going to say words. I'm hoping like one of his favorite words is going to be grandpa, right? He's going to be saying that all the time. But there's a lot of change and growth that can take place in a year's time, right? And I'm really proud of my daughter, Sarah, and her husband, Brett. And they are like most new parents, man. They are very intentional on making plans for their baby's development. They make sure he eats right and he sleeps right and he gets the affection that he needs. They make sure that he's learning new things all of the time. And they make sure that he has a safe and healthy community to grow in. And they pray for him a lot. You can take that down because it's distracting. Thank you. But as I was thinking about Milo's growth and maturity, and I was thinking about how good parents are very intentional and disciplined in helping them grow, my mind went to Scripture in 1 Corinthians and in Hebrews, where it talks about maturing Christians, where they move from living on milk like a little baby, they move to living on solid food like an adult, right? And as followers of Christ, we should desire to be continually gaining biblical knowledge and understanding. We should be desiring to gain biblical wisdom and discernment. Then this wisdom and discernment in our life, if that's growing in our life, we should see this spiritual fruit, right? And we should see less sin also. Now, to be clear, this spiritual fruit are these 9 attributes that the Bible lays out to us that it shows that we have evidence in our life that we're actually growing spiritually. And those things listed in Scripture are, is love growing in your life? Is joy growing in your life? Is peace? Is patience? Patience is hard. Man, it is hard. But if that is growing in your life, that is evidence of fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Are we becoming more and more faithful? Gentleness and self-control, another tough one, right? This morning, my primary hope and prayer has been over the last couple of weeks that this sermon will bring glory and honor to God, that He is due. That's my primary hope. Secondarily, my hope is that the Holy Spirit is going to work inside of each of us today. I believe it is miraculously how the Holy Spirit can work in each and every one of us if we are humble and asking for that. But specifically, I am asking that the Holy Spirit would deepen our gratitude today for what you have done for us, God. Man, that has been my prayer, that our gratitude will go to a new level today. And then third, my prayer has been that this gratitude that we have will lead us to seriously consider what is our spiritual and growth plan for the next 5 months. That's what I've been praying about for this morning. So here's my plan. First, we're going to go through and unpack Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, which Sam just read for us. And then once I've wrapped up looking at those verses, I'm going to run through the plans, some of the plans that we have for this fall, so you can prayerfully consider how you might get involved to grow stronger in your faith over the next 5 months. So let's look at Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is actually a letter written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison in Rome about 60 AD. And the letter is written to a church in the city of Ephesus. And Paul had spent 3 years of his life there helping get this church established. And it's believed that most of the people that were attending this church in Ephesus were Gentiles, meaning they were non-Jewish people who were following Jesus. Now, in these 10 verses, we're going to see many of the gospel elements, many of the same elements that we read in the book of Romans earlier in this sermon. Like the first three verses that I'm going to read out of Ephesians here, they're clearly restating that we have all sinned. We have all sinned, and it explains to us, again, the wages of our sin is death. So let me read those first three verses. It says, and you, just to be clear, again, Paul's writing this letter, and he's writing the you here is these Gentile believers in Ephesus. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. And then he says, we is believed to be the Jewish followers of Christ. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclination of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. So what we need to see clearly in these first three verses is Scripture is teaching us there is a pathway to death, to this eternal separation from God. And the truth is, we've all been on this pathway. And I think a really good question is like, well, gosh, am I still on that pathway? That's a good question. And how do we know if we're still on that pathway? Well, the Scripture lays it out for us here. Am I being disobedient to God's way? Am I following the ways of this world? Am I letting my flesh and my selfish thoughts define and rule who I am? Are these ways of living and thinking above my desire to know God and to follow God and to obey His ways? If we are following the ways of the world, Scripture teaches us we are on this pathway to death, eternal separation from God. But there's another way. There's another way. In verses 4 and 5 that I'm going to read in just a second, it's much like that news after the comma that we read about in Romans 6:23. There's a pathway to death and there's a pathway to life. And there's only two pathways. We're on one or the other. But let me read Ephesians 4 and 5. Because again, 1 through 3 was just like, man, the wages of sin is death. And then look at it, it says, but God. That's like that comma. But God. I remember Pastor Harold. He used to say his favorite word in the Bible is but God. Those two words. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our trespasses. You are saved by grace. Man, if we truly, truly understand these two verses, our life should be changed forever. Our gratitude meter should burst out of the top. These words, in the words of Mercy Me, these words are not good news. This is like the best news ever. And don't miss again, there's only two pathways here. One that leads to death that we talked about, and now the alternative is explained. It's life. It's life, abundant eternal life through and in Christ Jesus. God, it says, Scripture says, God is rich, rich in mercy. Being rich means you have more than you will ever need. Because God is rich in mercy, and he loves you, his mercy will never run out on you. His mercies are new every day. I don't know, I'm not sure how it works, but they are generated. They will never run out. They're new for you every day. And now, what is mercy? To be clear, mercy is you've done something clearly that you deserve punishment, but that punishment's being withheld, right? It's being withheld from you by someone. They are showing you mercy. But there's something even more amazing in these verses when it says you are saved by grace. And grace is different than mercy. I think it's even better. It's hard to choose, you know, but it's really, both of them are great. But I think grace is better because grace is like mercy in that we deserve punishment and that punishment is being withheld from us. But with grace, not only is the punishment being withheld, then you are given a gift that you don't deserve, an amazing gift on top of that, on top of the mercy. God's grace is crazy. Think about this. He takes on our sin, and in exchange for that, he gives us his righteousness, which leads to abundant eternal life. Think of that exchange. It should change us profoundly. Our gratefulness, our thankfulness should be off the charts at all times. If we truly understand this exchange, Jesus takes on our sin, holds back the punishment that's due to us. He gives us grace, his righteousness, and we get abundant eternal life. You know what? I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray because I don't think we understand this as deep as we should. And we need God's help. We need the Holy Spirit's help. So let me pray. God, help us to understand. Man, we sing, this is amazing grace. And it's amazing when we sing it. It's awesome. But help us to deeply understand this transaction. It should profoundly shake us. It should profoundly change us. So, Father, Holy Spirit, we ask for your help. Write this on our heart, in our minds, in our soul. Help us to wake up to this every day, thinking your mercy and your grace is new and abundant for us today. And Father, I do pray that we respond not out of guilt or shame, but out of gratefulness, that we'd want to be humbly obedient to you because of your great love to us. Holy Spirit, help us to understand this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Ephesians 6 and 7 goes on, and this is crazy. This is a minute, a moment in existence I don't want to miss. Let me read this. He, God, also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now, it can be a little confusing, but this verse is telling us that God's ultimate goal for saving people like you and me, that's what he's kind of explaining here. There's a goal he has in mind, an event that's going to happen that's going to be amazing. And the ultimate goal is that he's going to put on display, he's going to show off the immeasurable, what does that mean? That's kind of a hard word, but it's not measurable. He's going to show off to us this not measurable amount of grace that he has for us. To state it a little differently, the ultimate goal is God will get all of the glory that is due to him in this moment. And it's due to him because of his kindness that he demonstrated to all of us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, I can't wait to be there. This is coming. This is going to happen in the coming age, where all of a sudden, all of his people that he has saved is going to be there somehow or another, and his glory is going to be made known to us. And it's going to be amazing. I don't want to miss it. I think it's going to be better than anything we've ever seen or experienced in our life. All right, I'm going to finish out Ephesians, the last three chapters here, or verses here, 8 through 10. And again, man, I pray right now that we could really understand this. For you are saved by grace through faith, and it's not from yourself. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. There's so many things in here that our minds should be blown. But the first thing we need to see clearly, it is God that is doing everything. He's doing all the work. He's doing all the work. God is clearly the one who saves us. And God is the one who makes us to grow stronger spiritually. And we need to see and understand God's doing all the work, and there's nothing that we have to boast about. There's nothing. There's nothing that we have to boast about. So what does God do? In verse 8, he saves us. He gives us grace. He gives us faith. And then in verse 10, we see that we are his workmanship, meaning that he created us. He created us. We are his. And then he makes us new in Jesus Christ. So he creates us, then he makes us new again, which is amazing. And then he creates good works for us to do. Now, I learned something this week. I know another guy that says this a lot, but I learned something new this week. And you guys might know this, but I thought it was beautiful and amazing. But when Paul wrote this in Greek, the word that he used for workmanship, when it says that we are his workmanship, when that's interpreted into English, the actual word that it represents most is the word poem, a poem. So think about this. We are God's poem. We are a unique masterpiece, a poem, right? And each, like, I was blown away, like, wait, I'm a poem? And then I started thinking, what? Yeah, wait, you're a poem. And you're a poem. And you're a poem. And these poems are amazing, right? Because they're a unique masterpiece, and they're alive, and they're changing. They're developing. And it's like, it's a piece of art, right? It is work, God's workmanship. And he creates a unique poem. Think about this. When he creates his first this poem, he just creates us. And then along way, he makes us new again. In Jesus Christ, so he recreates us in this poem. And then within this poem, he creates for us good works to do, too. And again, I don't know, maybe you're not as jazzed up about this, but I was just into it this week. I'm like, wow, I'm a poem that's being written. And God has good works for me to do. And I think these good works are really important for us to understand, because it's not like generic, yeah, go do some good stuff. It's actually in context what it means. The good works that he has created for us to do are works that will point back to the one who created us. So a good work is, again, works that God created for us in advance that we are to do that will bring glory and honor back to him. As a follower of Jesus Christ, God is going to provide for you opportunities to do good works. Good works, again, are things that bring attention and glory to the one who created you. We should eagerly be looking for these opportunities. Man, I think when we step into these opportunities, these good works that he provides for us, we will find more purpose and meaning in our life than we will anywhere else. But we need to be looking for them and be ready for them. All right, to close out our time looking at Ephesians, I just wanted to spend a second on verse 9, because it's verse 9 is clarifying that it is, again, God that is doing all the work. It is not us. It is not us. If we boast or take any credit for what God is doing in our life, we're missing out on understanding the greatness of God. We're missing out on giving God the gratitude that is due to him. Rich teaching. Pastor Matthew, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, I'm sure he could spend a year on it. There's so much there, so much there. So I do encourage you guys to meditate upon it. Read it again. Study it again. It's rich. All right. As a pastor, when August rolls around, normally, anxiety and stress levels grow in my life because school is starting in a couple weeks, which also means all of the programming stuff that we are going to provide here at church is starting soon too. And truth be told, in my 11 years on staff here, I think I might dread August more than any other month of the year. Yeah, again, we just have to get all of the details figured out. We have to get all of the volunteers lined up. And then we have to try to communicate it in a way where you actually hear about it and know about it, which is challenging. So it's a lot. But this year's different in my life, in my spirit, and in my attitude. And I'm pretty excited. And why am I excited? Again, a great question. A great question I've actually been asking myself because it's kind of unusual. But I'm excited because I sense through prayer and through conversations with other people, this is going to be a special ministry year at Grace Church. I really feel it is. I think we have some great plans. But you all need to hear this really clearly. We have a hurdle in front of us to being able to execute these plans, and it's volunteers. We need more volunteers. Grace Church, like many other churches, is in somewhat of a volunteer crisis right now. To be clear, we do have some amazing volunteers. We do. In some of our areas, they are amazing, but we need more to help our ministry to grow and strive and thrive. So you may have seen when you came in this morning, we have tables set out there and there's some placards on them. And many of our ministries that are kicking off are represented at those tables out there. And we are hoping that you might just spend a couple minutes walking around and maybe look for some areas where maybe you could volunteer with us this fall and maybe to do some good works here in our church family. But there are three specific areas that I really want to call out that we really need some volunteers. We're kind of in a crisis in these areas. One of them is our kids' ministry on Sunday mornings that we call Grace Kids. You guys, we are super excited about, we're revamping what we're doing up there on Sunday mornings this fall, and we are super excited about it, but we need some more volunteers to make it happen. We're going to try to bring a little sports camp, a little bit, not all of it, to Sunday mornings, and we're super excited about it, but we need some more teachers. We need some people that want to greet kids. We're going to greet kids and let them know that we love and value them every Sunday. And we need some nursery workers. Jessica Weeks is sitting right there. Would you just, hi, Jessica. But she's going to be sitting out at a table out here, and you can get more information from her if you're interested in maybe helping out. Man, you don't have to help out up there every Sunday. We do not expect that. You'd be on a rotation, so we're not going to overwork you up there. But Grace Kids is having an informational meeting, too, coming up on August 12th at 5:30 p.m. You can find out about that out there. Another area where we really, really need some help is our tech team. Those guys sitting in the booth on Sundays, they are amazing, but we don't have many of them, and they are getting burnt out. So we need some more people up there. And here's the thing about these guys. They do an amazing job at training. We're never going to put you up there if you don't feel comfortable in what you're doing. So we will provide all of the training that you need. And if you could help out once a month or once every other month, that would be amazing. David Curtis, where are you at? He's up in the booth. Shocker. He's there every week. But he's up there. David is going to be at a table in the back. If you would like to learn more, it says tech team, about being on that tech team, we would love for you to sign up on that. The third area where we really need a lot of help is communion setup. Look at putting up tables and putting juice and bread out. We are super excited. As elders and deacons and staff, we're going to start doing communion every single week in the near future. But the only way that we can do that is if we get some more people that are willing to help set up. And if you could do it twice a year, three or four times a year, that would be amazing. It's not going to be like every week. But there's a table. Where's Delanne? I saw her. Look at Delanne. There, look at, she loves the wave. There she is. She's going to be back at the back table. She's going to represent women's ministry and the communion setup. But if you'd like to get involved there, find her and you can sign up. Other tables out there, we need some help with our coffee bar. Being a greeter, we could use more greeters. Helping lead community groups. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to be at a table out there if you're interested in helping with the community group or helping with youth. Our Monday lunches, you can talk to me out there. Our care ministry is going to have a table out there. We have a specific need with care ministry. If you would be okay with giving people rides here and there, can you sign up? And if you're like, man, I would like to provide a meal for someone once in a while, we could use some help with that. And if you like to do handiwork or yard work or something, we get calls all the time to help people with that. But if you would like to help in that regard, please look for the ministry or the care ministry table out there. And then our men's and women's ministries will be out there too, because they would love some extra helpers. So There are so many ways to get involved, so many opportunities. There's even more. If that didn't tickle your fancy, just let me know, and we'll let you know of some other opportunities out there. Can I tell you a way that you could encourage me, other pastors, and ministry leaders? We are so encouraged when someone comes to us joyfully and says, man, I would really like to serve. I don't know what it is, but it's like shock. It's like, whoa, yes, thank you. It is so encouraging to us when that happens. It gets a little discouraging when we have to pick up the phone and start calling people to see if anyone would like to volunteer. And I think what's gets discouraging about it is if we don't get those people, then we're just not going to be able to offer some of the things we'd really like to offer to help you grow stronger in your faith. So please encourage us. Please encourage us. And I would just ask you to prayerfully consider how you might want to serve your church family this fall. All right. Quickly, just to close up here, we're going to go through our pathways to growth. John, if you could put that that flyer up. Now, this is a work in process, and we're going to actually get those sheets out to you in the near future. And usually these have two sides to it. On the front side is kind of the overview, and on the back side will be all of the details of the times and the places of the things that we're going to offer to you. But yeah, this is like, if you want to grow stronger in your faith, over the next 5 months, we are saying this is a primary way to do it. So it says our pathways to growth. And actually, my version is a little differently. But on the top, we have a little formula up there that many of you have heard, that it says the good news plus safety plus time equals a gentle environment where anyone can grow one step closer to Jesus. And that's what we're all about here. We want to help everyone. Everyone, if you've been following Jesus for a million years, or if you're just here today to hear about Jesus and try to figure out, does he matter to me? No matter where you're at, we want to help you to take one step closer to him. And we think that if you're involved in these three pathways, that's going to happen. Now, it's important to know that it's not like a multiple choice thing, like, oh, which one should I choose? We are actually saying you should be participating in all three of these if you want to grow stronger in your faith. The three pathways are Sunday morning gathering. That's one of them. The next one is learning environments, educational things to learn more about Scripture, theology, how we should be living our life. So the Sunday morning gathering, learning environments, then community. Scripture teaches us clearly that we shouldn't be following Jesus by ourselves. We need other people in our life loving and encouraging us and helping us to grow. Now, I'm not going to go through the details down below. I'm going to do it in just a second. But there's four big changes this fall that we want everyone to know about. And we are super excited about them. And a lot of this is being driven, too, by how do we best want to use our resources in this church to bring glory and honor to God. So we're making a couple changes. One of the big changes that's going to happen is family night at Grace on Wednesday nights is something we've been doing for a couple years. But we're going to stop that this year. We're actually not going to do that because we want to use our resources a little bit more wisely. But we're going to do two things to replace that. So on Wednesday nights, family night at Grace, there were three primary things going on. Awesome food. And then the second thing was Grace Kids Wednesday night and then core seminar. So what we're going to do, what we talked about for Grace Kids Wednesday night, it's not going to happen anymore. And one of the things that we realized that we didn't have enough volunteers for Grace Kids on Sunday. We didn't have enough volunteers for Grace Kids on Wednesday. So both of them were kind of like not what we wanted them to be. So we're like, let's go all in on Sunday morning. Let's not dilute our volunteers. We're going to try to revamp Sunday and make it awesome and just have all of our volunteers focus on that. So that's one of the changes that's happening. Core seminar. Again, Pastor Matthew taught on Wednesday nights for about an hour 15, theology, great things to learn. But we're not going to be doing that anymore. What we're going to do instead is once a semester, we're actually going to call it something. We haven't called it yet, but it's like a workshop / seminar. And this is what's going to happen. It's going to be on a Friday, Saturday. So we're going to ask you to come in Friday. We're going to have a meal together. There's going to be some awesome teaching on something that is to be determined. He's working on some different options. So you'll come here. You'll eat some food. We'll get some teaching. Go home. Go to bed. Your own bed. All right. And then you're going to come back Saturday morning and we'll have some more food and some more teaching. So we're going to put course seminar on a Friday, Saturday versus Wednesdays throughout the semester. So that'll be once per semester we're going to do that. All right. Then the third big change, or fourth, I don't know, I've lost track. But everyone say this with me, the table. The table. Hey, we have a slide, Jen. Look at that. It's pretty cool. But hey, the table is something we're going to do where we're going to come together once a month, the third Thursday of every month. And it's going to be so much fun. I'm super excited about the table. And the table is all about building community. Everybody is invited to this table. Everybody. All right? And it's all about building community. So what's going to happen? 5:15 to 6 o'clock, we are going to have an amazing meal together. Susan and Suzette, they don't go halfway. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a great meal. We're going to sit around a table. We're going to have great food and talk to each other. At 6 p.m., we're all going to come in to this auditorium for an hour. And it is going to be an amazing hour of our month because we're going to have fun. One of our goals is, man, we want to leave here smiling because our bellies are full. We've laughed a lot. We've had sing some upbeat, fun songs, and then we're going to have somebody share one of their favorite stories from Scripture and how it has affected their life. So we want this to be a Thursday night for 2 hours where we have a great time as a community. Here's something else. We definitely want this to be something that it's super easy to invite people to in this community. And we want them at the table. We want them at the table. So those are the changes that we have for this fall. Go back to that other slide, John, for a second. So, Sunday morning gathering. Man, here's what I tell people. If you come to church 5 times a year versus 40 times a year, where do you think you're going to grow stronger? 40 times a year. So, the Sunday morning gathering is so important that we come together, we worship, we get good teaching, we have community. Learning environments, we offer adult Sunday school classes. 2 of them will be starting in the fall. We talked about Grace Kids. We talked about the course seminar. We have men's groups, ladies' groups, student groups, and care groups for learning how to follow Jesus, learning Scripture. And then community. We have the table. But then another huge thing we want to talk about is community groups. Last year, we started kind of a big push for this, and we had 8 community groups. And over 100 people were involved. And there's some other community groups that I know in this group where people are getting together on the regular and just loving and encouraging each other, having some fun, eating some food, doing some service together. We really pray that amount of people involved in community groups will go up this fall, and it will help you to grow in your faith. Young Life is for students. It's a ministry we love to partner with in this community. And then serving together, doing good works is going to help you grow stronger in your faith. Something that's not up there. Last thing. Hey, we're going on a mission trip November 1st through the 8th to go help Swendy and Darius Ernst in Mexico. And man, mission trips really, I don't even like calling them mission trips. I think we should call them discipleship trips, because they will help you grow stronger in your faith. If you're interested in going on that trip, please talk to me. And I know it's not in the next 5 months, but Pastor Matthew's taking a group to Thailand in February too. But these are things that will help you grow stronger in your faith. Okay, worship team, would you come up? Paul, Angie, and the communion servers, would you come up? Man, today, again, like I said, I've been praying for you guys, for myself, that our level of gratitude would increase greatly this morning by understanding what God has done for us. And I think there's no better way to help that gratitude grow than to celebrate communion together. So Elder Paul Inge is going to lead us in communion time.